looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the On Park Rolls preview podcast, supported by Phantom Brewke. Well, we will be talking about our game against Lincoln City this Saturday. Thank goodness we are back on track. We've had the Easter weekend, but well, it was a mixed bag. But to help me talk through it, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Paul. Yeah, just looking forward to getting back to games now. You know, we're into the final five. The big countdown is on and summer is approaching, although you wouldn't know it with the weather.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It was a mixed week, though, weekend, wasn't it? Kind of like, we obviously had the win that we needed, really, against Northampton. A really hard match, I've got to say. That was really quite stressful towards the end. But the Bolton game, I kind of went into it hoping we'd get a point, but basically we were outclassed, James, weren't we?
Yeah, outclassed individual mistakes, you know, twin those together. I think we all knew that for Reading to get something out of it, they'd have to have been a good sort of 8 or 9 out of 10 and get a bit lucky. Unfortunately, they had found Bolton on a day where everything they were hitting was going in. And yeah, they made a few cock-ups at the back as well, which, you know, I guess you'd rather have them against teams you're not expected to win than big sort of 6-pointers. So, yeah, I think it's one to just park aside and move on to the easy task of unbeaten in 15 Lincoln on Saturday.
Yeah, incredible form for Lincoln. But just on Bolton, do you think they're the best team over the two games that we've played them this season and opposition-wise?
Yeah, easily, I think. They probably should have won, or at least got some out of the game in the home game. I mean, they missed loads of chances and we got a bit, you know, not lucky, but we took a couple of good chances at the end. And then they tore us apart on Monday, to be honest. It could have been about 8-4 in the final whistle. Derby, we obviously beat in the home game. And Peterborough, I think we gave good games in both. Oxford haven't beaten us this season. Barnsley were... We ran out of steam at the end, but obviously we haven't played them away yet. But yeah, Bolton just eased us aside. So for me, they're the best team that we've played this season. And, you know, I'd quite like to see them pip into second, but it looks like it's going to be hard now with Derby and Portsmouth where they are.
Yeah, you're right. One good thing about that day is we got to travel with the Earnshaw Express on the way up to Bolton. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun anyway, James, was it? It's like in a typical away day with Reading for the last few years. There's been a few wins this season, but, you know, it's a good day out ruined by the football, isn't it, in between?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to just make sure that the journey is worth the end goal. Thankfully, there wasn't too bad traffic and obviously the conversation was flowing and we had a few nice stops on the way. We had the biggest onion bargee you've ever seen in your life on the way up. It was a good day out. Just a shame that obviously Reading didn't win, but nobody thought we would away at Bolton anyway. So, no, you know, nothing was really spoiled, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Anderson could have got some swing on that onion bargee. It was so large. It was like a cricket ball, wasn't it? It was quite amazing. There's one for the cricket fans. So, Lincoln City, that's going to be really, really tough on Saturday. But today, the club have released news on the season ticket prices for next season. Obviously, there has been a small increase due to operational costs of 4%. Everything's got more expensive in the world, hasn't it, James? I know, obviously, we're in League One and technically, we could definitely be in League Two next season. There's all kinds of uncertainty. Mm. But I think the prices are pretty fair, to be honest.
Yeah, Reading have always been decent with their pricing. I don't think you can complain too much. I think they were, frozen for at least like sort of 10 years. So, you know, a couple of years of incremental rises, but you know, as we're all finding out, life is expensive at the minute. It's still not overly expensive, an extra, tenner, 15 quid tops. You know, so it's obviously not great, but it could have been worse. And, you know, it still works out less than 20 quid a game. So it still works out a lot cheaper to get a season ticket than it does week by week. So I don't think that'll have too much of an impact on numbers. And hopefully sort of with a new era, we can sort of rise those attendances back up to the 15, 16,000 mark week on week.
Let's hope so. When you say new era, new ownership comes into my brain. But I'm not going to ask you about that because nothing's happened. Nothing's come out. That doesn't mean good news. It doesn't mean bad news. Just we don't know, basically, on that scenario. So let's get to Lincoln City. They are in what I would call, I want to say, sinsulating form. I really am ashamed of myself. That just came into my head, but I thought, shall I say it? And I went for it. I went for it. Sorry about that, everyone listening. I'm a little bit ashamed, but also quite proud as well. So what are you thinking about them? Because I'd love to see them get promoted, to be honest, but I don't want them to get a result on Saturday, obviously.
So weird, because I thought they were so bad when we played them at Sinsel Bank. I mean, I remember watching the game, and we scored an own goal in the first couple of minutes, but we battered them after that. We had two goals ruled out. We scored in the second half, and they weren't the worst. I wouldn't say they're the worst team. You know, we've seen worse teams, but they were bad. They weren't a good team, and we should have won that game. But fair play. I mean, their form is incredible, and you know, it reminds me of our form, sort of in the title-winning the year we put that run at the end of the season together. And you know, at the minute they're occupying that fabled final top six spot, top seven spot, sorry. No, it's six, isn't it? It's top six. It's League Two that's spot, top seven. Fair play to them. I mean, they're bringing 1,300 down. It's obviously a big game for them, one that they would have expected to win, looking at their form and where they are in the table. But we're at home. You know, we've beaten Derby there. We've beaten Bolton there. Beaten Stevenage there, you know, held Oxford and narrowly lost to Peterborough on the opening day. You know, we're a good team at home, so there's no reason why we can't get something out of the game. You know, should be another big crowd, and you know, hopefully, you know, a win or two away from keeping safety.
Yeah, I mean, very very close now. I'd say probably two wins maximum to stay up. Do you think that's a fair kind of call?
Yeah, I think 4 points will do it. So obviously two wins would be great. Bristol Rovers on Tuesday is must win for me, looking at them sort of being on the beach. But it is away from home, so it's, you know, hard to say it's a must win. Obviously got Burton, which is looking like a real 6-pointer now a couple of weeks later. But obviously your home game is where you look to pick up your points, and that's where we have done this season. And, you know, Lincoln, incredible form, but I guess all good run has to come to an end at some point. You know, not saying it's going to be Saturday, but hopefully it is.
I do remember, though, that we picked up our record-breaking win against Lincoln, Trevor Senior scoring in 1985, a 1-0 win. And I would take a 1-0 win on that Saturday. But Lincoln barely let in any goals and score a lot of goals. So, and we'll hear more about that from Matt when he talks to a Lincoln City fan. But what is your prediction for Saturday? I'm booking in what you're going to say already. But you know, just tell us.
You mean my classic 1-1 draw that I go for every week?
I do. You know the one I mean.
You know, they don't concede many, but I think I fancy our chances to score. You know, we even on Monday managed to get a couple in. Lewis Wing to, you know, bang another one from the middle of nowhere after his spag bowl the night before. You know, and yeah, I mean, who knows? It's League One's a daft league to predict. I thought the Championship was mad, but League One's proving to be equally as mad. You know, but I fancy us to get something out of the game, as we should. You know, we're Reading, we're in League One, we're at home. We should be looking to get points out of every game. But, you know, fair dues to Lincoln. I mean, that's enviable form. And, you know, if they do sneak into that last playoff spot, then I'll certainly be rooting for them because they're putting the cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, that's not a prediction, though, James. So
I said 1-0. I said 1-0.
1-0. You did. Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted by something there. Sorry. Basically, Charlotte came into the house there.
Sorry.
Unprofessional joke that I am. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to have to go with you, and I really feel dirty doing this. I hate myself.
Join me on the bench. It's not too
uncomfortable. Yeah, 1-0. And would we be happy with their amazing form that they're in? I think we probably would be, wouldn't we, if we took away? If you could guarantee us that absolutely now, would you be happy with that draw?
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, it's a way up, isn't it? I mean, I think at home we can beat anyone, and we should be looking to win the game being at home. But if it's a choice between that and nothing, then obviously you've got to take the point. But all it does is ramp up the pressure on Tuesday, because then you've got to go. And for me, you've got to get 4 points, I think, out of the next two. And that then is survival heading into Barnsley away and Blackpool at home. And you don't want it to come down to the crunch game away at Burton, because I don't think my heart could take it. So you want to get it wrapped up. And, you know, Lincoln and Bristol Rovers are possible games to do it. So yeah, I'd take a point on Saturday if we had 3 points on Tuesday, which isn't what we missed, but
I'm just gonna go for it. I'm just gonna say 2-1 to Reading. You know, I hope I'm right. And there's a lot of, like you mentioned, James, we've beaten a lot of the top teams at home. Mm. So it's not completely unfounded. Our form is obviously pretty good, and it would be so us in many ways, wouldn't it? It's not like we've been in dreadful form, because we haven't. Mm. But it will be a very hard game. All we can do is hope. Let's hope that we are bringing the positive vibes here. But thank you for listening. Now we got Matt coming up with a Lincoln City fan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. We are going to dive in and take a look at the visitors to the SCL stadium this weekend. Sorry if I can get my words out. It is, of course, Lincoln City, probably the informed team in League One this year. So yeah, we're going to take a look at Lincoln, and to do so I'm joined by Gary from Stacey West. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. I can imagine hopes and kind of optimisms are very high up in Lincoln at the moment. The run you've been on since really the end of January, start of February has been quite fantastic. 15 games unbeaten. You've climbed up, I think, from about 12th. I think at one point you're 14 points off the playoffs. Now in that sixth position, and everyone's almost looking at Lincoln as kind of that team that might just go on that playoff run.
Yeah. I mean, the run started, so we got beat on New Year's Day against Blackpool. A horrific injury record that we'd got, and we had them 10 days on the training ground after that, thanks to Shrewsbury getting into the FA Cup third round. So we had a nice break. Came back to three draws, but they were three credible draws. So for me, it started there. We drew 1-1 at Wickham, and then we held Peterborough and Derby to 0-0 draws at Sinsel Bank. So you could see the foundations beginning to build, I think, at that point. Since then, I kind of have to pinch myself a little bit. I mean, with the informed team in the country, I think from that, I mean, certainly over the last, I think we've won 5 games on the spin, 7 from 9. So we are absolutely flying at the minute.
Yes, and one thing that has massively changed, really, I think when you look at the goals, I think you've scored in the last 10 games compared to the first, what be about first 30 games. You've scored, I think it's 27 in your last 10, and you've scored 60 across the season. What's clicked? Because something's happened somewhere. The obvious is saying scoring goals, but what really has clicked for Lincoln of late?
There's several things, and the first one is going to sound so unbelievably obvious. We've got strikers, because we had no recognised strikers from the end of August through till January, bar. We had Jack Vale, who was on loan, but he was only sort of available for the tail end of that period. We were playing wingers up front, Hakeem Adelican, Dylan Duffy, decent players in their own right, but not strikers. We didn't have a recognised striker. January period came, we were able to sign Joe Taylor on loan. We signed Jack Moylan, who came over from Ireland. We brought Freddie Draper back, who had been on loan at Walsall. Ben House returned to fitness through February, when he wasn't expected back probably until mid-March. And I know it sounds like a no-brainer, but you get strikers on the pitch, you will score goals. But it's not just that. It's not just having the firepower, because we are creating opportunities by the bucket load. It's not always free scoring and attacking, but we are clinical with what we do. And I think that's down to Michael Scabala and the new setup that we've got. We've also had creative players come back. Rico Hackett, who missed again sort of the first 3-4 months of the season. Really creative. And some Lincoln fans will tell you that we've taken the brakes off, that under Mark Kennedy, we were a little bit reluctant to attack. I don't believe that. I think that it's just Michael Scabala's footballing ethos. He has energised a squad of players that in August, I felt were good enough to mount a top 6 challenge. And in January, I feared might not be good enough to stay in League One. So that's kind of how crazy it's been. But they're good footballers that we've got here. Even players like Ted Bishop and Danny Mandroyu, creative players, the sort of players that some might describe as luxury, have thrived under Michael Scabala, certainly since he had that time on the training ground with them at the beginning of January.
Well, Skibala obviously came in. Was it start of November? I think it was. So obviously replacing Mark Kennedy, who was sacked, I think, a few weeks before that. It took a while to get him appointed and everything. But seemingly everything settled down with him now. And like we say, things have clicked. Has he changed anything kind of squad-wise? Because I remember when we came to your place earlier in the season, it was probably right in the depth of your injury crisis, I guess. And it wasn't maybe the best reflection of Lincoln that day when we played you guys. Has there been any changes that Skibala has made? Obviously plays a 3-5-2 formation for you guys. Has he brought anyone in, made any changes?
He has to a degree. Obviously, I've mentioned the players that we signed in the winter window. So they have had an impact. Joe Taylor has been phenomenal in terms of his forward play since he's come in on loan from Luton. He's a proper fox in the box. And we also brought in Jack Moylan, who was he's cemented himself as a first team player at the moment through injury, because we are still missing several key players. But it's a belief, I think, that Michael Skibala has brought in more than anything, because the players that are thriving for us, one or two of them were players that were getting a lot of criticism from supporters through December. Captain Paddy O'Connor was sent off twice in the first half of the season. As recently as January, there was people saying, well, we should get rid in the summer, etc. People are talking about him now as a potential player of the season. I mentioned Danny Mandroyu. He was the player whose first red card of the season, he's also had two, was the straw that broke the camel's back regarding Mark Kennedy. He was kind of fired on the back of this war of words that emerged a post-match interview. Danny Mandroyu has looked phenomenal. Ted Bishop is a player who's been with us three seasons. Two of those seasons he's been in and out. There's been question marks over, you know, can he do it on a cold, wet night at Morecambe and all that sort of stuff. He's been phenomenal. He's played holding midfield. He's played forward. He carries the ball. It's really about belief. There's even a young kid called Jovan McCarmer. Now, Jovan has been with us since he was 16. He's come through the academy. He's graduated through the academy. Earlier in the season, he was taking an awful lot of stick. Supporters rather saying he'll never make a footballer, he's never going to score a league goal, this, that, and the other. Even him in the past 5-6 games, he's looked absolutely superb. He scored the late winner against Leighton Orient, which was a really kind of quality goal. It was a result we had to grind out. He came on for Ben House, who was injured against Cambridge, and we went on to win 6-0. I mean, it's just every single player. It's like, to me, Michael Skibala is like King Midas. Literally, everything he touches at Lincoln City at the moment turns to gold.
Mm. And one thing he has done, obviously, back at the start of the season, one thing that was so impressive about Lincoln was their defensive record. That's not changed. You are still, I think, you're second best in the defensive record with goals against, etc. But, I mean, I guess you could say it's cliche, I guess, to say that whenever you're not conceding goals, you're keeping teams to one goal a game or so. Or, you know, I mean, I think you've conceded 34 across the season now, which is an incredible defensive record. You're always going to have a chance. You only need a few things to start ticking for you kind of going forwards, for you to start getting results, etc. It's very similar, I guess, to Reading fans will remember Brian McDermott when he managed us and took us up to the Premier League. It was all built on a very resolute defense, but now you've added goals and that, it's maybe taken a bit of the weight off the defense. But I think you've got to credit, I think, you know, the goalkeeper, is it Jensen for you guys? Yeah. and the back three, because they've just been fantastic this season.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because actually we have improved defensively, because we were very good from open play, but our Achilles heel was conceding goals from set pieces, and it was week in, week out. I mean, even Luke Plange of Carlisle managed to score against us, and that boy honestly would
struggle. He scored against us as well. I don't know how.
And that was from a corner. So actually we were struggling a little bit defending set pieces. Our defensive record has been superb. That starts right the way up the pitch. But you're quite right. You build a foundation around a solid defence. And what is unique about our situation is Adam Jackson was our standout defender up until he was injured sometime in February. But Alex Mitchell, who's on loan from Millwall, people are talking about him as a potential player of the season. Paddy O'Connor, captain, potential player of the season. Sean Rowan, plays left centre back. Absolutely superb. 21 years old, just turned 21. Irish under 21 international, flying under the radar. Lucas Jensen in goal has been superb. He was injured in the warm up on Saturday. Jordan Wright came in, not played a league game since April last year, had a superb performance. It's just, but it's confidence, isn't it? It's belief. And I always say winning breeds winning. It's easier to keep winning than it is to start winning. And I think that was evident in our win against Leyton Orient. I mean, Carlisle was a little bit different. You know, they were they had to come at us. I think it would have been a much more challenging game had they only needed a point. But yeah, you're quite right. You start by not conceding goals and go from there. If you just start with scoring goals and don't worry about your defence, you end up in, I mean, I'll show my age now, but like a Kevin Keegan or an Ozzy Ardiles when they were in Newcastle and Spurs, where, you know, 4-3 is brilliant, but it's not sustainable all the time. So yeah, it's nice. We're not a boring defensive team. We're just a strong defensive team. And I think there's a real distinction there.
Yeah, I think I described you earlier in the season as the Preston of League One. And I don't think that's fair anymore, because Preston don't score, never historically scored goals. They're always good defensively. But yeah, you've turned a bit more into a Man City, really, of late, with this late season run that you guys have gone on, to be honest. But just on the goalkeeper situation then, Lucas Jensen, has he got a long-term injury, or was it just a tweak of the muscle for Wright coming in?
We don't know what it is at the moment. So apparently he'd been struggling with a little bit of a back twinge over the last couple of games. You wouldn't be able to tell because he's been outstanding. Pulled it in the warm-up, so we brought Jordan Wright in for that. So we haven't had confirmation of whether Jensen will be fit or not. What I would say about Jordan Wright, he's still talking about a 6'6" goalkeeper who has played not regular games for us, but I think not the end of last season, the season before, he played something like 12 games for us when Josh Griffiths was injured, kept more clean sheets in those 12 games than Josh Griffiths did in the other 30 odd games. So he's not a bad goalkeeper. He's one of those that's an understudy now, but in 7, 8, 9 years time, he could well be a League One goalkeeper of the highest order for another team.
Mm-hmm. And if you could pick out probably one your favourite moment from this run so far, what would it probably be? Obviously, you've got quite a few bumper victories in there. What would be your favourite moment of the last few months?
Yeah, I'm going to be really dour, because for those obviously who don't know, we won 5-1 at Barnsley, 6-0 at home against Cambridge, and 5-0 against Bristol Rovers in a week, which was just unbelievable. But the moment for me was Leyton Orient on Good Friday, because Leyton Orient, in my opinion, are a good side, and Richie Wellens sets them up right. Ethan Arahan was suspended. We didn't have any other central midfielders, that traditional kind of sixes. So it was a little bit hit and miss. He flooded the midfield and he nullified our threat, Richie Wellens. Really good. But we scored that last minute winner. And it reminded me a lot of Good Friday 2017, when we were playing Torquay in the National League. We were dead on our feet, and we went 1-0 down. Tranmere were catching us, Forest Green were catching us, and we scored twice in the last kind of few minutes to win the game. And it felt like that, a phenomenal moment. However, there is a reason for that as well. I missed all of the big wins because I was on my honeymoon and I was poorly as well. So yeah, Lincoln City scored 16 goals in 3 games and I missed all of them.
Oh, that's what happens when you get married and you've got to go on honeymoons and everything. It's a hard life. It's a hard life, married life. Yeah. Let's have a look at a few of the players then for you guys. I know earlier in the season, we talked about Ethan Arahan in midfield. But like you say, Joe Taylor, I think, has been the standout for the last few months. You know, you look at, comes in January, he's already on 9 goals and 3 assists. Sensational, really, when you think about it. But then you've got your two wing backs, Lasse Sorensen, Rico Hackett, both 4 goals, 7 goals for each of them, and 8 and 5 assists for both of them respectively. Is there anyone really that you'd pick out from this Lincoln team as the person to watch, or kind of the person that makes you guys tick?
It's hard, because as you've just alluded to, every game somebody is a little bit different. I mean, you know, Joe Taylor's been phenomenal, but the day we beat Exeter 1-0, there was some supporters saying he's not going to make it at Lincoln. And I think he scored that day and it just kicked him off. If I had to pick one player, it's going to be Ethan Arahan again at the base of the midfield, because I believe, as we said a minute ago, you know, all good teams are built on a solid defence. And from there, you grow the spine of the team. So if you've got a solid defence, you then need a good holding midfielder, a good attacking midfielder, a good centre forward. If you've got that spine of the team, it's like a Christmas tree, and you can then decorate it with your wing backs and your attacking midfielders and all your pretty shiny players. The absolute vital component for me is that holding midfielder. And Ethan Arahan has been superb. He's calm in possession. He's good on the ball. We play a really high press. So early doors in a game, if we're going to try and win, there'll be triggers. There'll be two or three high presses. We've scored a lot of goals recently from winning the ball back from the opposition in their own half, in their defensive half, before they try and come out. And Arahan's key to that. He organises the rest of the midfield really well. He reminds me, we had Liam Bridcut at the end of his career. I really rated Liam Bridcut, injury prone, but a great, great footballer. He reminds me a lot of what I would imagine Liam Bridcut was like when he was at Chelsea and when he was at Brighton, kind of all those years ago. So if Ethan Arahan's ticking, he'll make other players play well by spotting passes and that sort of thing. And other than that, Danny Mandroyou, just purely because he will pick a pass that nobody else will pick. And, you know, every so often you get those footballers that just see things differently. And he does that. He's been in and out of the team. If he's fit, there's no guarantee he'll even start. But when he's firing, he'll pick out those wing-backs runs with 50-yard cross-field passes and that sort of thing.
Has there been a game where you've seen that Ethan Arahan's been kind of marked out the game, or something that's made him struggle potentially? Or has it been... he's been pretty consistent across that. He knows how to adapt his game, etc.
Yeah, possibly. Because I don't think he's the sort of player that you mark, because he's the one that wins the ball rather than the giving him the ball to dictate. He's not, I mean, I hate this, but one of our radio guys describes it as the quarterback getting the ball, springing the passes. It's not really like that with Ethan. You know, he's the breaker up of play. He's the winner of tackles. He reminds me more of a, and again, showing my age, like a David Batty type play. You know, he'll put the tackle in, he'll win the ball, but he's calm in possession and play it around. Obviously, when he didn't play against Leighton Orient, it was obvious that the midfield just wasn't quite as cohesive. I think after around the time Mark Kennedy was sacked, I think there was some issues between Kennedy and the squad. I think that's what it looks like now, because they're so together now, and at times they looked fractured back then. Perhaps that was the one time that Ethan Arahan looked uncertain. But in the last 15 games, which is a third of a season, where we've shown what would be title winning form, I've not seen anybody kind of nullify what he does.
Not good news for Reading that. Not good news for Reading that. But keep an eye on Ethan Arahan. He's number six, 22 years old, going to be a fantastic footballer going forwards. Let's have a look then at the weekend and your running now, Gary. Obviously, you've now broken into that playoff six. You sit sixth on 67 points. You're, I think, 7 points behind Barnsley.
I don't know how. It's mad. Even just hearing you say it, like, yeah, okay.
Well, what are your expectations going into this weekend? Because you're probably looking at Reading, a team in 18th place, probably one of the games that you're going to be looking at. But I mean, you're running, you've got Wigan at home, you've got Cheltenham away, but then also trips to Oxford, playoff contenders, probably going to be a big match then, but also Portsmouth at home on the final day. What's your view with the weekend game in mind for the run-in?
Well, first of all, I have zero expectations of this Lincoln side, because we've come from nowhere. And if you've got nothing to lose, you know, I don't have an expectation. It's funny, because Reading are probably one of the best sides we've seen at Sinsel Bank this season. You had the boy who was on loan from somewhere in Europe. I can't think what his name is now. Paul something or other.
Oh, Makari, the winger. Yeah, Paul Makari.
Is he still with you?
He is. He's been in and out. He's one that he's blown hot and cold. I think that was probably the best we've seen of Makari that day. He's contributed with a few goals, but he's one of those players that he's very quick, he's very direct, but his decision making sometimes lets him down, and that's why probably he's never quite made it at the top, I'd say.
No, I mean, he looks he looked superb, and he wasn't the only one. That day, you deserve to win. You know, we didn't deserve a point out of that game, and we came away from that a little bit relieved that we got one. So I don't have an expectation that we're going to come to a side who are in 18th and take the points. I do feel that at the moment we are on such a good run that we fear nobody. You mentioned there about Portsmouth last day of the season. If they've already won the title and we need something, we'll win that game with hands down. Probably Cheltenham's the tough one, isn't it, there? Because if they need points, they're going to fight. But again, this Lincoln team, we're able to sit in and hit on the break. And if, you know, a team like Cheltenham were a little bit frail at times defensively, could struggle. So, look, I've said to some people this weekend, I think this has got a draw written on it for us.
I would take a draw. If you offered me a draw, I'd snap your hand off for it right now.
I'm not offering you because we need 3 points. But I feel a draw. And I'd like to take 4 points from the next two games, Wigan and yourselves. If we take 4 points, however they manifest, I think that will match Oxford United. They've got Peterborough, I think, a week on Saturday before they play us. And then they've got Stevenage the weekend after that. So they've got a horrible little run. I think our entire season comes down to a week on Tuesday away at Oxford, irrespective of what our next two results are, because I don't think our next two results will be so bad that we go to Oxford with it out of our hands. I think we go there knowing if we beat Oxford, we'll be cementing our place. So I'm chill with it. I'm not nervous. I didn't get nervous over Easter. I was with some mates and they were all kind of in the pub worried and all that sort of thing. I've booked my hotel for Wembley already. That's booked. That's done. Honestly, I booked a weekend away with the missus for playoff weekend when in January, early January. I've cancelled that. And that's not expectation. That's just because you said earlier about a team that comes into it late on. And we've always been the victim of that. So in 2006-07, we lost in the playoff semifinals to Bristol Rovers. And they were about 15th in March. And they just surged through. Beat us 5-3 at Sinsel Bank. Blackpool came from outside the top six. 2021 came through the playoffs, beat us in the final. We've always been the victim. We're the team in form now. And you know, Steve Evans was on television the other week saying, "Well, nobody wants us. We'll win the playoffs if we get in," and blah, blah, blah. Rubbish. Nobody wants Lincoln now. Barnsley, especially not. We've put, seven past Barnsley this season? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I think it certainly will be the story of the season. I think if you guys got, when you think back to mid-January, 14 points adrift of the playoffs, now firmly in it, looking like the favourites, I'd almost say right now. I'd probably pin my hat and say that right now. It will be quite some playoff run. One final question. Do you think you will do it? I know you've been quite pessimistic so far. If you had to say yes or no.
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 You're
never going to say yes, are you, to be honest, as a fan?
No, because I said that to my mate yesterday. When you're on the inside looking out, everything's very different from the outside looking in. And it was when we won the National League in 2017, you know, we had 3 or 4 games to spare and I was getting nervous at home to Macclesfield. And people from who I knew who weren't Lincoln fans were saying, "Well, you're definitely going to do it. You're definitely going to do it." And it's like you guys, I think I said about Reading much, much earlier in the season, "You'll stay up." I don't think there's any doubt. And there's a mate of mine who's a Reading fan was saying, no, I don't see it. We're not going to make the season. It's really easy from the outside looking in to be objective. So actually, if you think we're going to make it, that opinion probably holds more value than me saying we're not going to make it. So I'll drink to that.
Very philosophical, Gary. Well, thank you so much, obviously, for joining us today. Best of luck for the season. It would really be great seeing you guys at Wembley and hopefully taking that in, shoving it a bit to the bigger boys and seeing you back in the Championship. That would be amazing. But thank you so much for joining us. If you do want, obviously, your Lincoln City content, go over to Stacey West on Twitter. You guys do podcasts and reports and everything, I believe.
Yeah, we do. So stacywest.net is the website. And we have a podcast on the Talk Sport Network as well, which is just like guys talking in a pub about Lincoln, really.
It's what it's all about, isn't it? Really, at the end of the day, we love it. We love it. So, yeah, thanks again, Gary, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back on Sunday reviewing the Lincoln game, win, loss or draw. We will, of course, be back and giving you all of our thoughts and insight. If you have enjoyed this podcast, be sure to give it a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. Really does help us on podcast rankings and everything, help new listeners find us and all that jazz. Be sure to go and follow us on all of our socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, to keep up to date with the latest Reading FC and EPR content. And until the next time, I've been Matt Lansley, and this has been the On Park Rules preview podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.